أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك ثوى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Today is going to be the last night where we are going to conclude on the topic that was started here, and that was regarding lessons of freedom and lessons of obedience, lessons of awareness from Karbala. Just to wrap up the whole topic, and then inshallah tomorrow is going to be the day of Masaib, day of mourning. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala accept from each one of us every step that was stepped to observe the azah, the mourning of Sayyid al-Shuhada, biqabool and hasan, for all those who strive in whatever way, all those who made preparations for this majlis to be organized and held in this very dignified way. May Allah accept from each one of them biqabool and hasan. All those who provided the food, the refreshments, the tabarruk, the niyaz, again may Allah accept from each one of them. Whosoever served in whatever manner, may Allah reward them in the best. And a share of these majalis to be sent to all those mu'mineen and mu'minat related to each one of us. Coming back to our topic, we said that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam, has said, لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا, that never be a slave of another whence Allah has made you free. So we have to be free. Among the things that we are unaware is that many a times we find that this freedom is given to us by Allah, but we don't seem to know what is the reason for that. What is the reason for this ghaflat of ours, where we don't seem to understand, perceive and know? And it was mentioned the other day in a quote from Amir al-Mu'mineen, where he says that an-nasu, people, they are all asleep, and it is when they will die, they will wake up. He says that everyone is asleep, most of us are asleep. It means that most of us are in slumber, drowsy. It is like someone who's asleep, who's drowsy, who kicks, who talks, and he's unaware of what's happening. The same is with most of us, that we are drowsy and we do not know what is happening. And the moment we depart, only then will we come to know. Regarding this Quran, on a few occasions, says that وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, that these people, they don't understand. Elsewhere says that لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that they don't know. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Or elsewhere says that لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, that they don't seem to perceive what's happening. What don't they understand? What don't they know? What don't they perceive? They don't perceive the reality, and as it was mentioned, they don't know themselves. What is that they need to know? They need to know their true identity, and their true identity is not the body of an individual. The true identity is the soul of an individual. The body that has been given to us, it's just a shell, a coating given by Allah. And the moment a person departs, this shell is taken away and has to be dumped into the ground. The shell has no weight. The shell has no value. The shell is nothing. It's just a coating. The Anbiya, the Imams, they all came to scrape this human being, to carve him, to polish him, and to bring out this hidden inner self of a human being and to carve it out. That was the whole concept and the mission of the prophets. If you look into the first sermon of Nahj al-Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he very beautifully explains the tasks assigned to the prophets. He says that they were sent as a reminder, so that they remind to you all those blessings that you keep on forgetting day in, day out, due to the busy lifestyle that you have. Among the names that are given to the Prophet of Islam is that he is Mudhakkir, he is a reminder. We know many things, but many a times, due to the busy lifestyle that we have, we forget many things. Sometimes you find things are being repeatedly said. It doesn't mean that the speaker, he doesn't know more. Well, there's no doubt in that. But many a times you find that the more it is said, if it is uttered 100 times, maybe 2 or 3 times, the person who attends or is the audience or listen, he grasps. Or maybe the first time he doesn't understand, the second or third time he might understand a bit better. I was in one of these majalis in Washington, and I asked one of the audience that everything you find over here nowadays, there is an expiration date to it. They say that after that date, it's expired. And I asked him that, what is your opinion about this lecture that is given, for example, an hour of hard work, whatever? How long does it take for that to expire? Is there an expiration date? 1 day, 2 day, a week, a year? He said, no, Maulana, I can just tell you that the moment you are down, it's all expired. Okay. That's also an expiration date. Among the names given to the Prophet is that he is a Mudhakkir, he is a reminder. Here, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that the Prophets were sent to remind you of the blessings that you forget every day. The Prophets were sent for tabligh, for da'wah, for propagation. And then he says that they were sent to carve, to scrape, to polish the hidden treasures that are inside yourself. That hidden treasure in yourself is your soul. They came to revive that soul in yours. Like the specialists who know where the oils are, where the gases are present, where the minerals, gold, silver, diamonds are, they go dig it, they carve it, they scrape it, and they bring it out. Like them, but the Prophet's tasks are different. They came to carve, to dig, to polish, and to scrape this human being, not the body, but the soul, which is the reality of the human being. And when Allah says that I have created everything for human being, for man, which is the best of all the creations, it doesn't mean that He has created everything for this lump of flesh and bones. No. It's for that soul, which is the reality, which is the haqiqah. And when He says that I've prepared the heavens for that human being, again, it's for that soul, not for this material body. Everything is for that soul, so we have to know it. That ma'rifat of that soul has to be there. We know who we are. He says in Quran that from just a gust of smoke, I created the sun and the moon. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. From gust of smoke, not from light, not from anything else, just from smoke, He created the sun and the moon. And they were adorned with lights, and in the near or the distant future you will find that the sun and the moon that he has lit for man, he will put that off. It will perish. Why is that? If you have an honor, if you have a guest, what you do? You prepare your house, you prepare the food, everything is in order, and when the guest comes in, you turn the lights on. The guest is there. You feed him, you nourish him, you respect him, you honor him, and when he leaves your home, you turn the lights off. Allah says that I made all the preparations in this dunya. Everything I prepared for him, the whole world, the skies, the earth, the seas, the sun and the moon, I lit them for the guest of honor of mine, which is man, so that he comes into this dunya. And the moment he departs from this dunya, I will turn everything off, which is the sun and the moon. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُبِّرَتْ. And then we have the sun, the moon, it will disperse, the stars, they will be turned off. The mountains and everything will just go off. So the entire scene will change because the guest is gone. So everything has been prepared for man, and the moment man departs from this dunya, everything will perish. And then he says that now that he has departed from this world to the next abode, I will make all the preparations for him in Barzakh before he comes there. And beyond that, I will prepare everything for him in the paradise. For whom? That human, not the body, which is the inner self. So that has to be dug out, that has to be scraped, polished. And then he says that in the paradise, I've prepared everything. And many of these verses, they say that a paradise beneath which rivers flow. Now all these are things we don't really understand. Whatever we do, it's just multiply with the best of the blessings that have been given to us in this dunya. We multiply that by infinity and say that the paradise should be something like that. Well, that's again our own assumption. Regarding the blessings, the rugs that will be in the paradise, in Surah Ar-Rahman says that مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَىٰ فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ, says that the rugs that you will find in the paradise, in this dunya, the rugs, the most beautiful part of that rug is the top part of it. And the best rugs are the rugs that are made with silk. The underlay of the rug is nothing, it has no value. The value of rug, it's with the designs, with the top part of it, the softest part. In Surah Ar-Rahman says that rugs will be spread for you, بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ, that the underlay of that rug, it's going to be from brocade and silk. If the underlay is like that, then what's going to be the top part of it? That is unknown. Now all this has been prepared for mankind. What mankind? For every person? Not every person. A man who has freed himself, a free man. Or as said by Amir al-Mu'mineen, who has connected himself to Allah and is the slave of Allah and not the slave of any other fake Lord, God, living or dead. To understand again what this freedom means, if you look into the seerah of our fourth Imam, it's amazing. A prisoner is being brought from this whole tragedy of Karbala and being taken to Sham. A prisoner, handcuffed within chains, and then a person comes to him and says that, who won? Did you win? Or did Abu Abdullah win? Now someone who is in chains, he's not free. Someone who is handcuffed, and everyone can see that he is a prisoner. Now what answer does he give? He says that إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ مَنْ غَلَبْ فَإِذَا دَخَلَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ فَأَذِّنْ وَأَقِمْ. If you want to know who won, see when it's time for prayers and when the azan and when the iqamat is recited, you will come to know who won. Now this is someone who is in cage, who is a prisoner, and he utters these words with whole freedom. And this is a free person. Says that, say that azan and say that iqamah. If you see that, is it going to be Muawiyah's name that is being uttered in that azan? Or people are reminded of that prophet of Islam. Muawiyah, Yazid, all of them, they strive their best to put down or to extinguish the entire name of the prophet of Islam. But that fame of the prophet of Islam was revived and given life by the day of Ashura and by Sayyid al-Shuhada. So, we have to free ourselves. And among the things that help us free from awe, things that help us wake up from this sleep and slumber, from this drowsiness that we are in, it's crying. Crying helps. A heart which is as hard as a rock that breaks by crying, by weeping. This is something which Amir al-Mu'mineen says in Nahj in Dua Kumail, says that was silahul buka, that the arms, the ammunition of a mu'min is buka, is crying. It's by that crying, by that shedding tears, by that lamenting of this mu'min, he has that ammunition to arrive to that destination, and that is freedom, that is awareness. And it is something which is taught to us that we also have to teach our children, that we have to teach them to cry. That is a task assigned to us. And that buka, it helps us from freeing ourselves, from being bound to all those fake lords and gods. We are told to attend gatherings wherein the masaib of Aba Abdullah are mentioned. Any majlis wherein you increase the level of awareness you are in, participate in that. And there are dynamic reports available that say that a majlis wherein people they gather to increase their level of ma'rifah and awareness, in that majlis, know that, have faith in that, the angels, they spread out their feathers for those mu'mineen, for them to sit down. So it is again an honor that given to us that we are sitting and walking on the feathers of the angels who are the best of the creations of Allah. So a majlis wherein ma'rifah and awareness is increased. To attain that freedom, we find Ahlul Bayt, they fought to the last moment and in the best possible way. The first one among the Ahlul Bayt who stood, we find Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, that after the Prophet of Islam, less than a day, those malayin, they come in, they bash the door on her, they crush her between the wall and the door, that nail hits her and she drops her load, she is wounded. That fadak that was a gift given by the Prophet of Islam to her, when she found that everything is a mess and they're going to make a mess of it, she gives away that. She strives in service of Waliyullah, of the Imam of her time, and she protects him in the best way, with freedom, with honor. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was taken to the mosque in that wretched way with his imama in his neck and being dragged in the streets of Medina, then she steps forward in protection. Now this is someone who has dropped her load, who's been crushed between the door and the wall. The reporters say that that small distance she walked, she sat many times and she stood up. But she went to the mosque. Now what does she do then? She says that either you free my cousin or I am going to uncover myself and curse you. This is Zahra. Lessons of freedom, that how she stood up in support of Waliullah. Karbala again is the same thing. It's a whole lesson of freedom. Crying is good for Abu Abdullah. Crying with Ma'rifah is even better. Recitation of Ziyarat Ashura is very good. But with awareness, with Ma'rifah, that multiplies back into a huge number. So we have to have that Ma'rifah, who Abu Abdullah is, why did he stand? With that Ma'rifah, with that awareness, man can make miraculous effects and turns in his life. We are said that Laylatul Qadr has that great honor, khayrun min alfi shahr. Offer your prayers, ask for your pledges on that Laylatul Qadr, they will be fulfilled, they will be granted, no doubt. In a report, Masoom, he says that whosoever knows the Qadr, that is, the measure, the weight, or the Ma'rifah of Hazrat Zahra, has indeed perceived Laylatul Qadr. Someone who knows her has indeed understood what Laylatul Qadr means. Someone who knows her, someone who knows Ahlul Bayt, has come to that destination. There's nothing beyond that. So that Ma'rifah has to be there. With awareness, we stepped into these majalis. With awareness, we recite the ziyarat. With awareness, we cry for Abu Abdullah. And with that Ma'rifah, we can achieve. Ayatullah al-Azma Burujerdi, among the great ulama of our time, who passed away about 40 years ago, among the greatest Maraji Taqleen of his time, we could say he was the whole soul marja of the whole world. Everyone in the Indian subcontinent were his muqallid. Everyone in the Middle East, in Iran, in Iraq, everyone followed that just one marja. He was afflicted with a severe pain in his eyes. And everyone, all the surgeons, the doctors, the specialists, they prescribed, but nothing was happening. A few years he had that pain. And says that on one of these days like Tasu'a, like a day like today, in Iran and in Iraq, in Pakistan, in India, there are processions, there are julus, there are dastisinezani, etc., which are there all day long. It starts from the 9th of Muharram and continue till the Sham-e Ghareeba. And on a day like today, which was the 9th of Muharram, he was standing in the streets of Qom and says that I saw these processions walking, and it is a custom in Iran that they put mud and clay on their foreheads and heads as mark of showing that dust and clay or the being part of the tragedy of Karbala, and with a black band on their foreheads. He says that I saw a young boy, 10 years of age. He was crying like anything in that azar of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and he had that clay on his forehead. He says, I said to myself, the reports say, it is our belief, it is our aqeedah, that the dust of the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein has that miraculous effect that it could grant shifa to a person. He says, this clay, which is not the dust or the clay of the grave of Imam Abdullah al-Hussein, it shouldn't be no less than that. Now this boy, the way he's crying, he's shedding tears for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, this regular clay also shouldn't be less than that. He takes a bit of that clay and wipes onto his eyes and he gets shifa. That is ma'rifah. That is awareness. That anything connected to Hussein, that has that effect. These majalis related to him, they have that miraculous effect. And if you see Shaykh Mufid, he says that when Hazrat Zahra, she says that either you free my cousin, Amir al-Mu'mineen, or I will uncover myself and I will start cursing. And then Shaykh Mufid, he reports from Amir al-Mu'mineen, says to Salman, Salman, go. And tell Zahra to stop. That I see adab, chastisement, from the two sides of Medina, fast approach. That if she does curse, everything will perish over here. And upon the instructions and the request of Amir al-Mu'mineen, she stops. She is calm. Zainab al-Kubra saw and witnessed worst scenes in Karbala with all those children and women. She speaks to the children with her hands helping the ill and the distressed. She looks at the sky, at the earth. She is the one who supports and serves everyone the most. Because of Abdullah, he comes to an end after all on that afternoon of Ashura. But she continued her mission until she died, which is about 2 years after that. And when she, what does she say? She says, Rabbana taqabbal minna hadha al-qurban. God, accept this sacrifice from us. With ma'rifah, we have to attend. With ma'rifah, we have to free ourselves. We have to know who we are, from where we are, and where we are heading to. Now all this is first a lesson to myself. In a report, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says that if someone collects six elements, six qualities, he has indeed accumulated everything, he hasn't left behind anything to achieve the paradise. Nor has he got anything left to free away from the hellfire. What are they? He says, Man arafa Allah fa'ata'a, knows Allah and is obedient to Allah. Wa arafa shaytan fa'asa, knows who shaytan is and then he is disobedient to shaytan. Wa arafa al-haq fa'taba'a, knows what right is, what haq is, and follows that haq. وَعَرَفَ الْبَاطِلْ فَاتَّقَى, knows what evil is, what batil is, and then distances from that batil. وَعَرَفَ الدُّنْيَا فَرَفَضَهَا, knows what dunya is and puts that dunya aside. And then says, وَعَرَفَ الْآخِرَةَ فَتَلَبَهَا, and knows what akhirah is and then grants and achieves that akhirah. So these things, if someone has them, there is nothing more he needs to get to the paradise. Nor is there anything that he has, he to put aside the hellfire. So these six qualities, the first of them again, it's ma'rifat, that we have to know. Just knowing again, it's not sufficient. We have in Quran, says that people, they used to say that we saw our fathers, forefathers follow that, inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun, that we found our fathers, our grandfathers like that and we are following them. That is not acceptable. Ma'rifah has to be there. You should know what you are doing, what you are following, who you are obeying, who your God is. Just knowing is not sufficient. The hukama, the wise people, they say that you can't put all the pricey gems and jewels in something which is, you can't put them all in a disposable bowl, in a disposable plate. These valuable gems, jewels, you put them in a very good place, in a safe, in a bank, and somewhere in a museum, so it is not stolen away, it's not thrown away, or it's put in the right place. Ma'rifah again has to be right, has to be correct. It is a valuable gem that is given to us. We have to scrape it out and we have to protect it. Just saying that I know, I know, I know, that's not sufficient. Even these MP3, they have more knowledge. The iPhones nowadays, they have many files in them. Or you can put download the whole Quran, you can download all the du'as, you can download all different lectures, speeches in all these different languages, and you can have all everything in that. Do you say that it's got ma'rifah awareness? It doesn't.
No.
Ma'rifah awareness is that we know, we perceive, we understand. Not just a pile of all these files. And pile of all these files is what Quran says, that مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلٍ حِمَارْ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, like a donkey carrying all that weight and burden. Ma'rifah means we know what it is, we understand all the files, and when required and needed, we play them. So that is ma'rifah, which Amir al-Mu'mineen says in that hadith first of all. And a person comes to him, to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and says that, why is it that we don't like death? Why is everyone worried about death? And in replies, this doctor, this physician, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen, who knows the problems in individuals, and he gives the answer which hits the target. He says, لَأَنَّكُمْ عَمَّرْتُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَخَرَّبْتُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. The reason why everyone is afraid, scared of the death, is that because they were too much after this dunya, establishing and making this dunya, and خَرَّبْتُمُ الْآخِرَةِ, and you ruined your akhirah. Now someone who has established everything over here and has nothing over there, he is worried that what will he do if he goes there with no possessions? So everything, someone who has nothing over here and everything over there, for him departing and leaving everything behind here, it's not tough. That is again ma'rifah. When Abu Abdullah, he comes to Karbala, and there he has a dream. He says to his son Ali Akbar, that I see as if death is following us. What I see, the atmosphere over here, I smell death. There Hazrat Ali Akbar, he says that أَفَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ, are we not on the right path? And then Imam says that every positive act, although very small and minute, we have to give importance to it. He says, although we are on the right, but still that is an examination that we have to give, and we have to give. To every little thing, we have to give importance. As small as, and they say that see a pin and pick it up and all the day you'll have good luck, as small as that pin, if someone does for that, he will be rewarded. That is worship. Imam says, from a mu'min, God will accept all his good deeds and waive all his bad performance and the sins which he has done. From a non-mu'min, he will not accept anything, not his good deed, and there have been nor his sins, and he will punish for both of them. Mu'min, who is aware, who is amin, whose performance is good, who knows God, who knows what he is doing, we have to look into ourselves. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Look into yourself. This wonderful creation inside the body, God, he has created all of it from a dead earth. In Quran he says that كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. That you were dead, I gave life. That is dead, meaning that for the first time man was created from this earth, and then فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, I gave life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, and then you will die. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, once again you will be brought back to life. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So there are two deaths and two lives. And between these two deaths and two lives, we have to do whatever we have to do. So all our performance has to be there. Again, this life will be put to rest and again brought back to life and finally before God. So in these two deaths and in these two lives, we have to do whatever we have to do. Quran says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرُ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُمْ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. that indeed mu'mineen are those when Allah is reminded to them, when the ayat of Allah are recited to them, or when majalis of awareness they gather in them, or when they see these black things that are hung around us and automatically they are turned, they are moved towards a remembrance to someone. Zadathum imana. The iman, it elevates. When the verses of Allah are recited, the iman elevates. And their hearts, they are vajilat qulubun. Wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun, and they rely upon Allah. Haji Sabzawari is among the great ulama of the Shia world. He was drowned in this ma'rifah of Allah, which he possessed. He had written many books in falsafa, in irfan, in aqaid. The last day of his life, his students, they say, who were large in number, that in his last lesson of Tawheed, his students say that he, when he talked, it was as if he was a reflection of God. From books he was talking, but students, they say that we saw him different that day. And then all of a sudden he says to the books that close these books, there's nothing in the books, the realities and the haqa'iq couldn't be read, couldn't be studied. They are all evident, just says Ya Allah and departs from this dunya. That is that ma'rifah, that level of awareness which he possessed, that whatever he says, it's whatever he sees, whatever he perceives is whatever he says. That ma'rifah has to be there, and the more the ma'rifah, the better the performance. Allah says that أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, that I have prepared for my righteous, my pious servants what an eye has never seen, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, what an ear has never heard. You can never perceive and think of what Allah has prepared for us in the hereafter. وَلَا خَطْرٌ عَلَىٰ قَلْبٍ وَلَا خَتَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ فَقْرَهُ إِنْ شِئْتُمْ, that nothing that can a heart of a human being ever perceive what Allah has prepared for mu'mineen. Our fourth Imam, he was so much drowned in worship. Now this is something again which is easily said. So much worship that he used to perform that he was called Zainul Abideen, meaning that the beauty of the worshippers, or sometimes known as Sayyidus Sajideen, the foremost or the chief or the leader of those who perform sajdas. Now, he was so much drowned in worship that he was addressed as Anta Zainul Abideen by the Divine Caller. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, says that I was a child, and with my father, the fifth Imam, we came to our grandfather's room, which is the fourth Imam, and says that he was in worship. When he saw his father, which is the fifth Imam, he broke into tears and says that, how much do you worship? All this severe worship of yours, this extensive ibadat of yours. And then he says that, why my son? In reply, Imam, which is Imam, the fifth Imam, he says, how much do you worship? So much Imam cried in this worship, in his sajdas, that cannot be described. And then Imam, the sixth Imam, he says that the fourth Imam, Zainul Abideen, he instructs the fifth Imam to get some notes that were present in the house. And when they recite those notes, a sahifa, which the reports they say, and when he was reciting that sahifa, Imam the fifth, he bursts into tears. And then he says that there the worship of Amirul Mu'mineen was mentioned, and when the worship of the fourth Imam was seen and compared with the worships performed by Amirul Mu'mineen, that cannot be compared. And then he says that then your objection is irrelevant. The worship that is seen by me, it's nothing. The worship seen and performed by Amir al-Mu'mineen, no one can ever think of it, no one can ever perform it. So that is ma'rifah. With ma'rifah, they stepped forward. With ma'rifah, they knew God. With ma'rifah, they performed those worships. And with ma'rifah, they set off in the way of Allah to free themselves. And to free others, to free mankind. Because they were free themselves. So even that little attachment to the fake lords, which is the Yazid of that time, the faintest attachment to the Malayin Muawiyah of that time, it should not exist. There has to be a total separation between Haqq and Batil, the lesson taught by them. And this was the beauty of all the 72 that were present on that day of Ashura. No one like them ever existed, no one like them will ever exist. Now when these 72 were informed by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein that none of you will remain, all of you will perish, all of you will die on that day of Ashura, the reporters say that a 75-year-old man on that eve of Ashura, a night like tonight, he was dancing outside his camp, his tent, Muslim bin Awsajah. And when one of his associates comes and says that, why are you dancing? He said that, have you not heard what Abu Abdullah said? He said, we are going to die tomorrow. With that ma'rifah, he said, he says that we are going to die tomorrow. What more do we want? We have come to our destination. That is Abu Abdullah. Someone who is so happy to meet his Lord with awareness that he's dancing like anything. Among the most free, among those who gave this lesson of freedom is Zainab al-Kubra, salamullah alayha. She is the one who teaches the lessons of ma'rifah, that how you support the imam of your time, how you should live and stand with freedom, in honor, with dignity before the zalim of your time. A lesson taught by her. She is born on the 5th of Jamadi al-Awwal, the year 5th or 6th after Hijrah. And on the 10th or the 14th of Rajab, she passes away, 62 after Hijrah. Lives for about 2 years after the tragedy of Karbala. When she is born, at that time, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is 3 years of age, Imam al-Mujtaba 4 years of age, and the Prophet, at that time when she is born, he was away in one of his trips. Amir al-Mu'mineen is informed that God has blessed him with a baby girl. And they want him to name the baby. He says, I can't. It is the Prophet of Islam who has to name him. You turn the lights off. It is the Prophet of Islam who has to name him. And then when the Prophet, he returns, he says that it is not me, but it is Allah who has to name her. Jibreel descends and says that Allah says, name her Zainab. And after a while, they say that we saw the Prophet of Islam, he was crying. And then says that, why were you crying, Rasulullah? He says, Jibreel came to me, and the first one to cry on the masaib of Hazrat Zainab is Jibreel. He said that this baby girl will be afflicted from now until the day she passes away with all sorts of afflictions and balas. No one was like that. The first tragedy to hit this house of Wahi is the passing away of the Prophet of Islam. And she witnesses that tragedy. when her mother, Hazrat Zahra, is crushed between that door and the wall and is wounded, and her brother passes away, Mohsen, she is about 7 years of age. She says, I saw for myself what happened. And she is the one who nursed her mother for about 75 or 95 days until she passed away. Says that, I heard the cry of my mother when she was crushed. No one else did. The first one to see her brother spitting out blood and pieces of liver from her mouth is Zainab. She comes and sees her brother Imam Mustafa spitting out blood. She informs about Abdullah and Hussein. Hussein, come and see what has happened. Brother has been poisoned. The masaib seen by her that cannot be defined, they cannot be explained, they can never be recited. Like the other members of the household of Wahy, Zainab again is brought up, raised, educated by the Prophet for the time he was there. Many titles were given to her, Zainab Kubra, Siddiqi Sughra, so on and so forth. Her kunya is Umm Kulsum. Her generosity was like the generosity of her father. Her worships like the worships of her father. Her bravery like her brother, like her father, like her brother Qamar ibn Hashim. And all of these things were reflected and seen on and after Ashura more. Worship of Zainab, again it's amazing that people, they used to come and say, but this Zainab whose worship was so much, on the day of Ashura, she couldn't recite her prayers in the standing position as she was so much broken down due to the masaib of that day. Yahya Mazani reports, now he was a neighbor of Hazrat Zainab. He says that 7 years I was the neighbor of Zainab, not once did I see her. How she looked, what her height is, what her stuff, nothing, never, ever. As if she never existed in this community. I never saw her. From her childhood, she saw all these balas. From her childhood, her intellectual capacity also, that was miraculous. That khutbah fadakiyya of her mother, Hazrat Zahra, which she recited, she memorized it at that age of 6. And among the sources of that khutbah fadakiyya is Hazrat Zainab. She possesses that divine knowledge that many a times you find that ma'sumeen, like our fourth imam, say that you are an alima ghayr muta'allima. You are yourself knowledgeable, not someone who has acquired that knowledge, but like someone who has been gifted and bestowed that knowledge. On many occasions, she comforts her brother. May that be before the tragedy of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, and after the tragedy of Karbala, she was the only one who comforted everyone in that caravan. She sees her brother Abu Abdullah and Hussein a few times a day, every day. That was her routine. So much so that when she was to get married to Abdullah bin Jafar, she says that I have a condition in this wedlock, and that condition is that I must be allowed to see my brother a few times a day. A condition that if my brother ever travels anywhere, I must accompany him. I must be with him. And with that condition, she marries Abdullah bin Jafar. The looks, the features she possesses are like that of her grandmother Khadija. And many a times, whenever the household were reminded of Hazrat Khadija, they looked at Hazrat Zainab. She has about 7 trips throughout her lifetime, and in all these 7 journeys, she travels, and 6 of them, she travels with great honor and respect, and respect and dignity. And in those days, when she was to embark and get on a camel, she has these young men to assist and support her to get on to that animal, to get on to the carriage. But on one trip, that is the worst journey. And when they are to travel from Karbala to Sham, this daughter of Ali, who is from the first lady and household of one, she travels in that worst and the most miserable way, with no one to assist to get on to that ride. Lessons taught by Hazrat Zainab. It's supporting the Imam of the time, defending the Imam of the time in the best possible way, to the best possible limit and ability that was present over there. She is the one who looks after the Imam of the time when it is Sayyid al-Shuhada. Until the last breaths of Abu Abdullah, she is there. And after Abu Abdullah, she protects the Imam of her time, which is Sayyid al-Sajideen. In age, he is about 30 years younger than the aunt. But she says, he is the Imam after Abu Abdullah. Total submission, full obedience to him was there, was seen by her. The respect shown by Abu Abdullah to Hazrat Zainab, that too is amazing. That the reports say that he stood before her in mark of respect whenever he wanted to address her or speak to her. In a debate between the brother and the sister, Abu Abdullah and Hazrat Zainab, Hazrat Zainab, she asks that brother, is your agony great or that of Adam? In reply, he says that Adam, after the separation from the heavens, he was comforted by finding Hawa, but I will be martyred. She says that your masa'ib compared to the masa'ib of Prophet Ibrahim. He says that the fire that was set ablaze for Ibrahim, it cooled down, it changed into a garden of bliss. But the fire that was set ablaze for me, it devastated my household. She says that, what about the agonies of yours, the masa'ib of yours, compared to the masa'ib of Prophet Zakaria? He says that Zakaria was buried, but my body will be left stranded. My body will be pounded and crushed under those hooves of those horses. She says that, brother, the masaib of yours to the masaib of Yahya. He says that Yahya, he was beheaded, but his household was never looted, plundered, or taken into captivity from town to town. Says that, brother, what about the masaib of yours to the masaib of Ayyub? He says that masaib of Ayyub, he was healed from all those wounds that were afflicted to him, but my wounds, they never healed. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was passing away, Hazrat Zainab, she comes and says that, father, I heard from Ayman that a tragedy will unfold, that is the tragedy of Karbala. And my brother will pass away, will be killed in that. Imam says that, yes, what you've heard is right. What you've not heard, and what I'd like to top up and add to it, is that after your brother being killed, it's you who will be handcuffed and you will be in chains, taken from town to town as a show to be portrayed before these malaeen in markets and streets. It is amazing, the love, the bond between the brother and the sister, that when the baby is born and given to the mother, to the father, to the grandfather, to the brother Hassan, you find that the eyes of this baby Zainab, they are closed. When the baby comes into the laps of her brother Hussein, she opens her eyes. That attachment between the two starts from there. The bond between the two starts from there. And in that palace of that mal'oon, when the heads were brought in, there the reporter says that when the head of Abu Abdullah came into that palace and it saw each one member of that household, it looked at Zainab and closed its eyes. Ajallah Maraji says that maybe it is that Imam, he wants to say that Zainab, how can all these services that were performed by you thanked by me? The way you looked after this household of mine, the way you looked after this caravan of noor and light of mine. When Hazrat Zahra was with the passing away, she gives the hunut that was brought from the paradise to be given to the Prophet, to Imam al-Mu'mineen, to Hazrat Zahra, and to Sayyid al-Shuhada, and Imam al-Mustafa was there. It was from her that hunut was sought. She gave that hunut to her father, to her mother, and to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And the reports say that when the mother was passing away, she says that, Zainab, keep these two things with you. And know that the day when Hussein calls and asks for these things, that is the last day and the day of separation between you and your brother. What does she give? She gives a shirt. And that is the shirt which Abu Abdullah Hussein on the day of Ashura says that, Zainab, is there something which I can wear under this garment of mine so that when I am killed and when my clothes are taken away, at least my body is covered? That shirt was with Hazrat Zainab. Masaib that was seen by Hazrat Zainab are amazing, are second to none. No one ever saw or will ever see. When after this whole tragedy unfolded, they came to Sham, and from then on they requested for a majlis to be held. Well, Yazid, after all this mess he had made, he says that, forgive me, I'll give you the blood money, I'll give you so many gold coins, and whatsoever you want, I will avail for you, so that you forgive me. And then, when she finds out that these are the requests of Yazid, she says that, you want me to forgive? To a regular mu'min, to an ordinary mu'min, Allah says his honor is more than Kaaba. This is Hussein. How do you pay that blood money with these few golden coins? Take them away. I want his amama back. I want his shirt back. I want the few things which was taken away from him. I want them back. He says, what, and anything else? I want a house to be emptied for me so that we sit and mourn for Hussein. Yazidi says that if she was to sit and moan with these strong words that she has, there is going to be a revolution over here and everyone is going to revolt against Yazid. A house was emptied and she sat in azar and mourning of her brother Abu Abdullah. The first one to organize these majalis was Zainab. Everything black, everything mourning, and a majlis was prepared. And all these women from these dynasties of Marwan and Ziyad and all these Mala'in, they also wanted to attend this majlis. They wore the most fashionable, the lavish clothing they had. When they saw that the decor over there is different, they were bound to change everything. And they too attended in the dress of Azam. And then she started the mission. She promotes, this is what was done to us. This is how the Prophet of Islam's grandson was killed. When they were in the prisons of Sham, and everyone had come there to see them, as a show that was there, Yazid's wife, she says that, everyone has been there but I haven't. Let me go and see what's up. Yazid says, okay, go. But this, the dignity of yours has to be observed. I don't want you to go just like that. You are the wife of the ruler. A throne was placed for her in the prisons, and she comes there in that way. And then she comes and sees, this is Zainab. And then she said, I never knew that it was Hussein's head on my palace. Had I known that, I would never. She rushes to Yazid. And with her calls and cries, it was removed. And when this procession was to set off from Karbala to Sham, Yazid, he speaks to the fourth Imam and says that, what is your advice? He says that I have to go and speak to my aunt and see what her advice is. That does she want to stay here in Sham? Does she want to go back to Karbala? Does she want to Medina? Zainab, she says that nowhere but Medina will I prefer. I want to go back to Medina. But before that, a majlis has to be held over here. And for them, a great procession was made with all these lavish carts and carriages, so that this caravan goes from Sham to Karbala. She says, what is all this? I am not going to travel in that. We are a procession of mourning, of azam, and we have to travel in that way of azam. Everyone has to know what has happened to Hussein ibn Ali. When Abu Abdullah fell off on that day of Ashura, it is Zainab who brings him back. And the reports, they say that, inshallah, we will recite that tomorrow, that when Abu Abdullah fell off the horse and he made a pillow like under his head and he put his head down, Zainab was the first one from that height to rush to Abu Abdullah and say, and the reports, they say that she ran so much that she fell down, she stood up, she fell down, she stood up, and until she came to Abu Abdullah. And Abu Abdullah, he was in his last moments, and she, due to her intense pleading and crying, she brought him back. The way Zainab, she protects her brother, again, that's amazing. That when she sees that all these bodies on that day of Ashura are being brought, one after the other, and when the body of Ali Akbar, the son of Sayyid al-Shuhada, is brought there, she says that if he sees the body and if he moves and starts mourning on that body, he's going to get weak. I have to keep him strong. I have to protect him. She comes and throws herself on the body of Ali Akbar and starts mourning on him so that Imam's attention is diverted from that body and he doesn't get weak. That's Zainab. When Qamar ibn Hashim passes away, the first one to raise the call and cry of Wa akha, my brother has passed away, is Zainab. Zainab, the services performed by her can never be performed by anyone. And on that day, and after that tragedy of Ashura, when the heads of all of the members, that is the 72, were given back to the household, and all the heads were taken away by the relative members of their families, they find that there are two heads over there, as if they are lost and found property, who no one belongs to. A woman comes there and says that, who do these two heads belong to? Another says, these are the heads of Aun and Muhammad, the sons of Zainab. And then how come the mother, she hasn't taken them? When they come to the mother, she's got a head to cry for, and that is the head of Abu Abdullah. She cares no, doesn't care for children. For her, her utmost is Abu Abdullah. Zainab, on that day of Ashura, the services she provided, again, they are amazing. In Ziyaratul Nahiyah, which is recited by our 12th Imam, he comes to a phrase where he says that, فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ الدَّمَنِ, that I will cry for you, which is Imam al-Asr saying to Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that Imam, my grandfather, I will cry for you day and night, and I will shed for you tears, not regular tears, but tears of blood. In one of these visions seen by one of the mu'mineen, he says that, when he speaks to Imam, he says that, what do you mean by this phrase, Imam? Crying day and night, weeping and lamenting, not tears, but tears of blood. Is that for Abu Abdullah? Is that for Ali Akbar? He says, no, it's not for Ali Akbar. He says, is that for Abdullah al-Radi, which is Ali Asghar? Says, no. Was it for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? Says, no. Says, who is it for that? Says, this phrase is for my aunt Zainab. And again, the love she has for her brother, that too is amazing. And the reports, they say that when Hazrat Zainab was giving away her life, she was weak, she was broken down. And it wasn't that Zainab which was before Karbala. Before Karbala, it was a strong Zainab. But after Karbala, she is a broken down, hunched old lady. Yazid, when he was in his last moments, he was afflicted with a disease which no one ever gets afflicted with. The best of the physicians were brought to him, and among those physicians, now this time he's a specialist for Jew, he comes and sees that the marad, the disease which he has, it's one of those which no one gets. He puts his turban down and says to him that, Yazid, have you committed a grave sin? Have you killed a prophet or his progeny?
Ya Allah.
Yazid, he is ashamed, puts his head aside and says that, I killed the grandson of the prophet.
Ya Allah.
He says, you killed the grandson of the prophet when the generation gap is just one mother, one person? How could you? And then he embraces, comes to his brother and says, this is what I saw, what we were told by our ulama and what we were told by the prophets, that no one would be afflicted with this disease which he is afflicted with, but someone who is a killer of a prophet or his progeny. His sister-in-law, his brother's wife, she hears, she embraces, but she does not disclose her iman to her husband. And it so happens that wherever a majlis was held for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, this mu'mina, this new Muslim, she leaves her house behind and goes and attends those majalis. The husband is informed by the notorious people which are always there in the community that your wife, she has embraced. Do you know that? You are a Jew, your wife is not. And wherever a majlis is held for Hussein, she attends. He says, I'll find it out. and says to her wife that tonight I've got guests, 70, very great guests, and I want you to prepare food and everything for them. This house has to be adorned and decorated in the best way, so that these great and honorable guests are fed properly. She says, all right. And it so happens, she comes to start the task which her husband has assigned to her, and all of a sudden she has a majlis in the neighborhood. Morning for Abu Abdul, she leaves everything behind and rushes to that majlis. And after that majlis, she is reminded that my husband had given me that task, I haven't performed. She comes back home and she is amazed that everything is in order. Everything has been put right. And she says that I saw someone sitting in the hall with a shirt in her lap and she was crying like anything. She said, I came to her and said, who are you? She said, I am Zahra. This is the shirt of Hussein. And it is incumbent on me, it is wajib on me, that someone who serves and cries for my son, it is an obligation on me to come and serve him. And she says, I saw in the kitchen, I saw ladies working on there, and a tall lady also working in the kitchen the most, and she says that that's Zainab. She says that it is wajib on her that someone who serves her brother, who cries and weeps for her brother, it's an obligation for her to serve. The love and the bond, the devotion between the brother and the sister, it's amazing. Abdullah bin Jafar, he says that it was the last moments of Hazrat Zainab. And she says that, Abdullah, take me out in the open, under the sun, under the heat. Giving away her life. I say, I want to give away my life like that. Abdullah says, why? She says, my brother Hussein, he died under that sun in that heat of Karbala, and you want me to die under this shelter? Abdullah bin Jafar, he says, I took her out in that heat, under that sun. And there he says that I saw she has something in her hand. She puts it onto her chest and then kisses it, hugs it back onto her chest. And then he says that she kept on repeating that over and over again. And then when I come and see that, I find that she has given away her life, and that was the shirt of her brother. کی رفته ای ز دل که تمنا کنم ترا کی بوده ای نهفته که پیدا کنم ترا با صد هزار جلوه برون آمدی که من با صد هزار دیده تماشا کنم تو را کی بوده ای نهفته که پیدا کنم تو را کی رفته ای ز دل که تمنا کنم تو را غیبت نکرده ای که شوم طالب حضور پنهان نگشته ای که هویدا کنم ترا با صد هزار جلوه برون آمدی که من با صد هزار دیده تماشا کنم ترا مستان کاش در حرم و دیر بگذری تا قبله گه مؤمن و ترسا کنم ترا زیبا شود به کارگه عشق کار من هرگه نظر به صورت زیبا کنم تو را با صد هزار جلوه برون آمدی که من با صد هزار دیده تماشا کنم تو را الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا ايام قلب ينقلبون. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala never make this Laylatul Ashura the last Laylatul Ashura of our life. May Allah bless us with a long life for us to witness more days and more nights, for us to sit and mourn more and more for Abu Abdullah with more awareness and with more ma'rifah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant dignity and honor to Islam and to Muslims. May Allah jalla wa'ala defame kuffar, mulhideen and munafiqeen wheresoever they are on this earth. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and may he enlist us among his true supporters and his true servants. All those who have requests and all those who have wishes, all those who have hajat, whatsoever they are, may Allah fulfill them, may Allah grant them, and may Allah accept from everyone the azar that was performed by us in these few nights. Those who have requested for the awaz will recite the ayah a few times. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad amman yujibu al-muzzar idha da'ahu amman yujibu al-muzzar idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'a amman yujibu al-muzzar idha da'ahu amman yujibu al-muzzar idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'a أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein.